Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
New details emerge on what FBI agents recovered from their search of Mar-a-Lago, and why many would-be homebuyers are getting priced out of the market.
It's the least affordable, according to the National Association of Realtors, that it's been since 1989, which of course was before many of today's homebuyers were even born.
Plus, food samples are back, but they're not always free. It's Friday, August 12th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A judge has unsealed the warrant used to search former President Donald Trump's Florida home, Mar-a-Lago. U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhardt issued an order making the warrant and inventory list public after the Justice Department said in a court filing that Trump's lawyers told federal prosecutors they did not object to the government's request to unseal it. Our Justice Department reporter Sadie Gurman has more details about what the agents recovered.
So what we know from reviewing the documents is that there were 11 sets of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago, including some that were so top secret they can only be opened in a secure government facility. There were also 20 boxes of other items, including binders of photos, a handwritten note, and Roger Stone's clemency grant. There was also something that the list referred to simply as information about the president of France. So quite an assortment of different documents contained in these dozens of boxes that the FBI recovered.
Trump's lawyers argue that the former president used his authority to declassify the material before he left office. A president does have the power to declassify documents, but there are federal regulations that lay out a process for doing so. Meanwhile, a New York judge is allowing a criminal tax fraud trial against the Trump Organization and its former finance chief, Alan Weisselberg, to move forward, denying a bid from the defendants to dismiss it, with the exception of one tax fraud count. Prosecutors have accused Weisselberg and the Trump Organization of a wide-ranging conspiracy to avoid paying taxes by diverting portions of some executives' compensation to perks like cars, apartments, and cash payments. The former president was not charged in this case himself, but it is related to a broader investigation by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office into whether Trump and his company misrepresented assets to tax authorities, insurers, and banks for financial gain. Trump has denied wrongdoing. The trial is now set for late October. The House has passed a major climate, healthcare, and tax package known as the Inflation Reduction Act. Our reporter Daniela Cheslow has more.
It's a far smaller package than the $3.5 trillion plan originally proposed, but Democrats are calling it a major win. Here's House Ways and Means Committee Chair Richard Neal of Massachusetts.
This is a substantive policy achievement. You carve out victories as you can get them.
The bill calls for more than $430 billion in spending for climate and healthcare initiatives, while raising taxes on corporations and hiring 87,000 new IRS employees to bring in more revenue. That's brought fire from Republicans who accuse Democrats of cracking down on middle-class Americans. But Treasury officials say many of the new staff will not work on tax collection, and they'll replace more than 50,000 IRS employees set to retire over the next decade.
In markets, all three major indexes ended the day and the week with gains. A slight easing of inflation has investors hopeful the Federal Reserve will slow down the pace of rate hikes in the months ahead. That tends to mean a boost in prices for stocks, bonds, and more speculative assets. The Dow was up 2.9% for the week, the S&P 500 gained 3.3%, and the Nasdaq rose 3%. More businesses, including some that boomed during the initial months of the pandemic, are shedding jobs as they try to adapt to a changing economic environment. Best Buy says it's cutting hundreds of store jobs across the U.S. and Canada. The electronics and appliance retailer also cut its sales and profit estimates for the second quarter due to slowing business. Peloton has announced it will shed almost 800 jobs by eliminating its North American field operation warehouses and reducing its member support team. The fitness equipment maker is working on an $800 million restructuring plan to help turn around its business. And the meditation and wellness app Calm is laying off 20% of its staff, according to a memo from its CEO sent out to employees yesterday. According to people familiar with the matter, approximately 90 people were laid off, including a dozen roles in Calm's consumer marketing department. And author Salman Rushdie, whose book The Satanic Verses led to death threats in the 1980s, was attacked today ahead of a lecture in southwestern New York. He was about to speak at the Chautauqua Institution when a man rushed on stage and appeared to have stabbed him in the neck. Rushdie was taken by helicopter to an area hospital. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said at a briefing that he's alive. A trooper assigned to the event took the suspect into custody. When it was published, the Satanic Verses caused an uproar among some Muslims who called it blasphemous. Ayatollah Khomeini, the leader of Iran's 1979 revolution, issued a fatwa, or religious edict, calling on Muslims to kill Rushdie. Coming up, record home prices and rising mortgages are putting would-be homebuyers in a bind. We'll talk about when they might see some relief after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
It's a tough time to be looking for a new home. Home prices have been rising steadily for more than 2 years. As we reported earlier this week, average home prices have now reached $413,500. More recently, would-be buyers are also combating soaring mortgage rates. The National Association of Realtors now says housing affordability is at its lowest level since 1989, and that's forcing many buyers out of the market. So, what's keeping prices elevated? And when might they start to come back down? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal housing reporter Nicole Friedman. Hi, Nicole. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, Nicole, the last time affordability was this bad was more than 3 decades ago. Why is affordability so low right now?
So there's a couple different factors that go into housing affordability. So there's incomes, how much people are earning, there's house prices, and then there's mortgage rates, which affect how much people actually pay every month in order to buy a home. And house prices are at a record high. They have been soaring for these past 2 years. We've seen a lot of demand and very limited supply, and that has pushed up the price of homes. But in 2020 and 2021, affordability was still okay because mortgage rates were very, very low. And so that kept that monthly payment for buyers at a reasonable level that they could afford within their incomes, even though the price of the home was still going up. But now we have this year seen mortgage rates shoot up from about 3% at the end of last year to more than 5% today. And that has really, really increased the cost of borrowing. So that monthly payment that home buyers can expect has gone up by hundreds of dollars a month. And so that's really just made it much less affordable to buy a home. And it's the least affordable, according to the National Association of Realtors, that it's been in June since 1989, which of course was before many of today's home buyers were even born.
That really puts it in context, Nicole. Where are we seeing the effects of this most acutely in the U.S. right now?
Buyers all over the country are really taking a step back right now and in the past few months, that the increase in borrowing costs has made it difficult for some buyers to qualify for a mortgage. And others are just saying this is too much, that whatever their expected monthly payment was, they can't afford that increase of several hundred dollars a month. Or they're just saying, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to see how this looks in a couple months. I'm going to take a minute to breathe. So demand to buy homes has definitely declined in the past few months as buyers have stepped away from the market. And that has translated into lower home sales. We've seen sales of existing homes fall for 5 straight months. And so there's definitely a softening in the market. And particularly, there are some markets where home prices really skyrocketed in the past few years. Think Austin, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona, or Boise, Idaho. And some of those markets that have seen a lot of home price growth, some economists are saying they are vulnerable to price declines now as this market is rebalancing and slowing down.
Right. We are starting to see price pressures easing a bit. What are the expectations for home prices and the housing market over the next few months?
So home price appreciation has been really rapid in the past 2 years. And at the end of last year, we were seeing home prices up about 20% around the country from where they'd been the prior year. So that's just huge, huge home price growth. And of course, that really outpaces the growth that people have seen in their wages and their incomes. And so the expectation is very widely that home price growth is going to slow by the end of the year, maybe to single digits from a year earlier, maybe 3 or 5%, which is pretty normal historically, or maybe even flat, or some economists think there could be slight home price declines. But in general, the expectation is for home price growth to slow down. And typically home prices, we do measure them from a year earlier because there is a lot of seasonality in home prices. They always typically decline in the fall just because that's a little bit of a slower time to buy homes. So that's expected, but usually we look at year-on-year growth and we're not expecting to see prices kind of plummet from a year earlier because there still is a lower than normal supply of homes for sale. And that's kind of expected to keep home prices from falling very dramatically.
And what about for mortgage rates? We did see them dip below 5% briefly, but now they're above that mark once again. So what are the expectations for mortgage rates?
So mortgage rates, they hit a 13-year high in June, and they have moderated a little bit since then. They're this week at about 5.2. And so there is some expectation that the big increase in mortgage rates, the jump that we saw in the first half of the year, will not necessarily be repeated, that mortgage rates might kind of settle out around this level. But a lot of that depends on what happens with the broader economy and what the Federal Reserve decides to do going forward. So the housing market is ultimately dependent on what goes on in the broader economy and with people's job prospects.
Nicole, if prices continue to come back down, is that going to cause a rebalancing here of the market?
So it definitely could. There are a lot of buyers who stepped back from the market, but still want to buy. And so if they think, oh, it's getting more affordable, I can now get into the market at maybe a better price or a better mortgage rate, a lower monthly payment, those buyers might come back in. And so that could actually keep the market from falling further if there is this kind of demand that's just sitting on the sidelines waiting to come back in. And demographically, the millennial generation, which is the biggest adult generation, is largely the biggest cohort of millennials is in their early 30s, which is typically the first time home buyer age. And so there are a lot of households, a lot of people out there that are in that age range where they're ready to buy homes. And many of them still want to buy and are waiting on the sidelines and watching to see what happens in the market. And so if it gets a little easier to compete, if prices come down, they could flood right back in and pick up where they left off.
Wall Street Journal housing reporter Nicole Friedman. Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, the weekend is a good time to fill up your cupboards. And with grocery prices going up, that Saturday shop could be a great time to save on lunch. It doesn't matter who you are or how much money you make. Free food on a toothpick is irresistible. And after a two-year pandemic-induced hiatus, samples are back. At Costco, Whole Foods, and even farmers markets, customers are once again filling up on bites of salami, tiny paper cups of guava juice, and even mobbing Frankfurter carts before they put their money down. But despite being a good way to boost sales, our food reporter Annie Gasparo says not every business is bringing back free sampling.
Some stores found that they were just losing money, and these might be places like a wine shop that used to offer free wine tastings or an ice cream shop that used to give you free samples on those little spoons. And now in the pandemic, they were able to charge for those samples and they're saying they're going to stick with that. They don't need to endlessly let you taste everything for free. They can sell you a flight of ice cream or a wine tasting for $5 or $8 instead.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Anthony Bansi and Kate Bullivant, with help from Julie Chang, Daniela Cheslow, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Kateri Yoakum, Michael Cosmides, and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning.